Have you ever noticed that the technology trickling down into your Cessna or Cirrus almost always shows up in a business jet first? I'm Vector on Cleared Direct, and this is Radio Hangar this week. Geneva plays host to the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition, or EBACE. And if you pay any attention to where cockpit technology is headed, this is the show that matters. EBACE runs at Palexpo and Geneva International Airport, and it draws everyone from Gulfstream and Dassault to the small avionics shops you've never heard of but probably should have. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument-rated CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Why should a general aviation pilot care about a business aviation trade show 5,000 miles away in Switzerland? Because business aviation is where the R&D money lands first. The glass cockpit revolution that gave you the Garmin G1000 started in Citations and Hawkers a decade earlier. Synthetic vision, enhanced vision, auto throttles, head-up displays. All of that technology was proven at 30,000 feet in a Falcon before it ever appeared in a piston single. EBACE is where manufacturers reveal what they've been working on, and if you squint past the champagne and the cabin mock-ups, you can see what your airplane will look like in 5 to 10 years. Here's what I'm watching this week. First, sustainable aviation fuel. SAF has been a talking point at EBACE for several years now, but this year is different. Multiple fixed-base operators across Europe are expected to announce permanent SAF blending at their facilities, not just demonstration quantities for the show. The business aviation sector has been under enormous pressure from European regulators, and some operators are now contractually committed to blending ratios. Why does this matter to you and your Skylane? Because every gallon of SAF that gets produced and distributed builds the infrastructure. It normalizes the supply chain. And eventually, when the FAA and the fuel producers finalize the ASTM specifications for piston-grade SAF blends, that infrastructure will already exist. We are not there yet for avgas replacement, but the jet side is dragging the entire industry forward. Second, and this is the one I'm personally most interested in, is the push in integrated cockpit connectivity. Collins Aerospace, Honeywell, and several European avionics firms are all converging on the same idea. The cockpit should be a node on a network, not a standalone instrument panel. What that means practically is real-time data sharing between the airplane, the operator's dispatch center, maintenance tracking systems, and air traffic management. Honeywell has been building what they call their Forge platform, which aggregates flight data, engine health monitoring, and predictive maintenance into a single ecosystem. Collins has been integrating similar capabilities into their ProLine Fusion suite. At EBACE this year, we should see demonstrations of how these systems handle real-time weather rerouting and predictive engine trend monitoring simultaneously. Now, here is what most people miss. This is not just about making rich people's airplanes fancier. The underlying architecture, the data buses, the software standards, the connectivity protocols, all of that is being written right now. And once it is standardized in the Part 25 world, it becomes dramatically cheaper to adapt for Part 23 certified aircraft. The reason your panel upgrade costs what it does is partly because every avionics box is its own little island. The business jet world is solving that integration problem first, and the solutions will migrate down. Third, watch for electric and hybrid propulsion announcements, but with a caveat, EBACE has become the place where startups show renderings and collect letters of intent. I want to be honest with you, most of what you will see in this sustainable propulsion pavilion is still PowerPoint engineering. But there are a few credible programs making real progress. Volterra out of France has been flying their Cassio hybrid electric prototype, and they have been notably quiet recently, which in aerospace usually means they are either in trouble or preparing something significant. I'm hoping it is the latter. Their approach of using a hybrid powertrain in a conventional airframe is, in my view, more pragmatically sound than trying to reinvent the airframe and the propulsion system simultaneously. Fourth, and this one flies under the radar every year, is the air traffic management technology on display. Europe's single European sky ATM research program called CSAR typically uses EBACE to showcase their latest trials. They have been running demonstrations of four-dimensional trajectory management where the airplane and the ATC system negotiate not just a route but a precise time at every waypoint. The goal is to eliminate the inefficiency of holding patterns and tactical vectoring entirely. If that sounds familiar, it should. It is essentially what the FAA's next-gen program promised 15 years ago, but has been painfully slow to deliver. the Europeans are arguably ahead on implementation, and the technology being demonstrated at Geneva this week could shape how your IFR clearance sounds in 10 years. Let me give you the honest assessment of the state of play. Business aviation technology development is moving faster than at any point since the early 2000s. The combination of regulatory pressure from Europe's environmental mandates, genuine competition among avionics manufacturers, and an influx of software engineering talent from outside traditional aerospace has accelerated the cycle. But there is a gap between demonstration and certification that remains stubbornly wide. The FAA's certification process for new avionics and new propulsion systems is still measured in years, sometimes many years. So when you see a flashy announcement out of Geneva this week, mentally add 3 to 5 years before that technology might appear in a form you can actually install. The other thing worth tracking is the business aviation market itself, because market health determines R&D budgets. Pre-owned business jet inventory in Europe remains tight. New deliveries from Gulfstream and Dassault are backlogged, and that demand is what funds the next generation of technology. When operators are buying airplanes, manufacturers invest in better airplanes. When the market softens, the R&D pipeline narrows. Right now, the pipeline is wide open. One more thing to watch. Dassault Aviation has been hinting at enhanced capabilities for their Falcon Eye combined vision system, which overlays synthetic and enhanced infrared imagery on the head-up display. It is one of the most sophisticated vision systems flying today. If they announce the next generation this week, pay attention to the sensor fusion architecture. That same approach of combining database-driven terrain rendering with real-time infrared imaging is exactly what several companies are trying to miniaturize for general aviation head-up and head-worn displays. The business jet version costs six figures. The GA version, when it arrives, might cost a fraction of that because Dassault and others will have already solved the hard engineering problems. So that is your week ahead in aviation technology. Geneva, Switzerland, business jets you will probably never fly. But the cockpits inside them are building the future of the cockpits you will. Most of what I've covered today draws from reporting by Aviation International News, Flight Global, and the EBACE exhibitor announcements from the National Business Aviation Association and the European Business Aviation Association. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep watching the data. It always tells you where things are headed before the press releases do.